When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another podcast episode. My name is Alicia Gogan, the host of the Glow Up Secrets podcast, where I help you expand your mind and become more self-aware so that you can glow up into the best version of yourself. Guys, we need to get into it. We have so many things to talk about today. The basis of this episode is going to be all about limiting beliefs. I had asked you guys a question on my Instagram, which go follow me on there, Alicia Gogan, because y'all know that's where I ask you guys for the content for the podcast. And I asked you guys, what is one limiting belief or like self-doubt that you're really struggling with right now and that you're like struggling to overcome? It could be about you. It could be about other people. It could be just about like circumstances in general. And of course, we got lots of questions and, you know, people wanting advice. So I wanted to basically read some of these out and give you a new perspective and maybe help you, give you some advice moving through some sort of, you know, self-doubt that you might be having or a limiting belief, because I know that limiting beliefs are something that we all carry, and they get in our way of doing a lot of things in our lives. And one thing I do want to say and like honor you guys is, first of all, the bravery with some of the things that I was reading. I'm like, you guys are so brave to even, you know, say that, like express that maybe you're not feeling the best about yourself, or you're doubting yourself, or you have a limiting negative belief. But also, the first step of change is becoming self-aware. I have these conversations with my friends a lot. And, you know, it's not that we like talk down, talk crap about people, but, you know, when we see certain people acting certain ways, we're observing something, like, you know, you have your friend groups and you talk about certain things that are happening, certain people acting a certain way, whatever. Everyone does that. And one thing that we always observe with some people is like, there are certain people in this life that are just truly not self-aware. They don't see themselves for who they are, truly, and how they're acting. And there's reasons why they don't. And I'm not shaming these people, because there always comes a point, I think, that, you know, that's like kind of like the first step of your enlightenment of, you know, becoming awakened to who you really are and how you're operating and all the ways you're self-sabotaging and all the thoughts that you think, everything like that. But it's, you know, kind of a scary thing when you don't know yourself, because it's hard for you to really change. It's hard for you to even see how you're getting in your own way. And reading some of the things that you guys have sent me, I'm like, yes, thank you, because you guys are on the right track when you start to see yourself for who you are in ways in which you're limiting yourself, you're doubting yourself, you're getting in your own way. In order for you to really get out of your own way, you need to see how you're getting in your own way in the first place. So I just want to say, like, the first thing when it comes to changing is becoming self-aware. And there are people who are not aware of how they operate. And then they look outside of themselves and they say, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I hate that. And like, you know, why me? Victim mentality. And they're not really seeing how they could be playing a role. It's not to say that every single thing that happens in your life is your fault, but, you know, you play such a huge part. And even if you don't, if you want something to change in your reality and you want change, There's no, in my opinion, there's not much point on you focusing all your attention and on that thing and trying to change that thing and being mad about that thing for not changing. And instead, look at what you can do and how you can change as an individual and watch how the universe responds. So with that being said, I will get into some of those limiting beliefs that you guys are currently holding. Hopefully I can give you some advice, some insights. One thing that I haven't even said, I don't think, in my episodes is I'm not able to get to all of your responses. I do my best to write out what I do is I scroll through all of them. There's so many that you guys, you know, send in, which is amazing. Thank you so much, because obviously this is content for the show. But I write them, I go through all of them, I read all of them, and I write out the ones that are, you know, the most prevalent, the most repetitive, the most, you know, impactful that I think. And then of course, like, you know, sometimes somebody asks one specific thing, but it's connected to that other answer that I would give in somebody else's question. So then I won't read that out because I know that you're gonna get your question answered in that response. So just know that. I also don't respond to them, obviously, because I'm going to respond in the episode, but I just want to say thank you so much for always responding to my stories. And even if it's not in the stories, just about like everyday stuff or outside of the podcast, sorry, I should say, I appreciate that. So we're going to quickly get into a few ins. I'm going to make it quick, like a little bit quicker than last week's a little bit, because we do have a lot to get to, but you know, I got to talk about some of the ins. Listen, the way that I'm such a hypocrite is, I'm sorry, guys. I really am sorry. Listen, you know what? One thing about humans is we are hypocrites, okay? And I am fully invested in Love Island Season 9 UK. And I just think it's so funny. When I mean a hypocrite, if you guys didn't listen to the one episode where I said Love Island is out, it's definitely not out. And I have been doing a little bit of commentary on my stories, and a lot of you guys have been asking me, like, what am I talking about? What show? If you guys never watch Love Island, it is really good. Like, I love it. It's just, you know, after season nine of Love Island, even UK, what I was talking about is sometimes it does get repetitive because people know what's coming in a way, and we kind of know what happens outside of the, when people leave the show, a lot of relationships don't work out. Mainly people just get brand deals and a bunch of followers, and that's kind of that. But there's something, you know, if you can just get past the idea of, and I had to tell myself that, I just need to get past the idea of like, this is a TV show, a dating show, and they're kind of all the same. And, you know, have fun with it and look at it from a lens of psychoanalyzing relationships. Then it becomes so fun. And I kind of forgot that that's what's the most enjoyable about watching Love Island or like a dating show is really watching how people move in relationships. And I think that, you know, the more wiser I get and the more interested I get in relationships and healing and just, I'm very, very interested in humans and psychology and everything. I think it's just, I get so invested in watching how people move in relationships and the way that people are lying and people who are not telling the truth, or, you know, when the girls are not going with their guts or the guys are not going with their guts, or, you know, oh my gosh, I don't want to give too many spoilers, although I kind of do that on my stories. I'm sorry, guys. But I feel like if you see the clips, then you know not to read what I'm saying. But I really think that next season, I'm going to have to do like an extra episode on a recap of Love Island because I love it. And I think that I have some really good commentary because it's all about like relationships. And I love talking about that. So anyways, that is totally in. I'm here for it. My favorite on the show is Tom. I love him. I didn't really love him at the beginning, but I do love him. And he is definitely giving my type. Not gonna lie. And I love Sammy too. And Shaq, I love everyone else. I'm not gonna, whatever. This is not a Love Island recap. So anyways, Love Island is in. Okay, also I have been doing Gua Sha again. And when I mean again, when I was doing it, I didn't really do it that often. But I'm really trying my best to take care of my skin more. I did post a video, if you guys haven't watched How to Be Magnetic. And I talk about your spirit and your soul and your personality in terms of that, you know, internal glow up, and then also, and how to be magnetizing. And then also on the flip side, like the external, I talk a lot about health. And in that video, I show you guys some of the things I'm doing for my skin and my thoughts on what it really means to kind of be beautiful and be magnetizing. And I'm so in my skincare guru era. Like truly, ever since I went to that beauty event and I got all these products, I'm like, yeah, like let's go. I kind of wanted to, but even before I went to that event and got products, but anyways, I also think it's because spring is coming. Spring is coming. I care more about my skin. I care more about my natural hair health. Like I should care in the winter, and I do to a certain extent, but I don't know. There's just something about the reawakening of like spring that I'm like, I'm alive again. Like I want to be glowing. I want to be as healthy as I possibly can. You know, I've been hibernating a lot. So anyways, I'm doing Gua Sha again in the morning, and it's very therapeutic and I really love it. Like, and I'm honestly not doing Gua Sha to, I know a lot of people do it for like their jawline and stuff and like make it real snatched and stuff. I mean, obviously if my jawline could get snatched from that, amazing, but I'm doing it more for lymphatic drainage because I know that's very healthy for the body. So that's in. Next thing that's in is oversized t-shirts. I don't really know, you know what? I know why they were out for me. They were out because honestly, I just usually, you know what? I sleep naked. Even with this being in this era, I do end up taking it off because I'm like, why? But when I break after a shower, when I'm going into bed or even in the morning, I'm back in the oversized t-shirt vibe. I think maybe also it's because, I mean, I wouldn't say that the weather's getting warmer, but usually I want to wear track pants and a big hoodie. But I don't know, something about getting out of the shower at night, doing your Gua Sha, your skincare, you're clean, bed sheets are clean, you're watching some Love Island, you have some tortilla chips with some Greek yogurt and salsa in an oversized t-shirt, romanticizing the idea of thinking about being with Tom. There's something. It gives what it needs to give. So that's in. My last thing that kind of piggybacks off of the skincare is I'm really in my natural hair era. And what I mean by that is I am really going to be focusing on, I don't even want to say growing my hair, like I need to have my hair long. It's not really about that. I just want to take even more care of my hair. Again, back to that video, I was talking about my natural hair journey a little bit and, you know, how I used to not love my hair and I love my hair now. And, you know, I don't wear my hair out and down curly a lot. Mainly, well, there's a few reasons. Mainly because I don't like my hair short. Like, I just don't like the way that it looks. Although I have gotten some new products that I want to try to see how my curls look, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Either way, I'm caring a lot about my curls. I actually got my hair streaked, like dyed basically. Streaked? I got highlights in my hair. Why was that a thing? The words I meant, not getting my hair highlighted. It actually looked really pretty a few years ago back in COVID, but my hair's like basically grown out of that. And I'm going back to a curly hair specialist back in my hometown in like a week or two. I made an appointment to just trim my hair. I haven't got my hair trimmed in a long time, although my hair is quite healthy. Anyways, I just want a hair trim. I want to continue to move forward with putting in all the products that I need and deep conditioning and self-care days and whatever. And I feel like when I was serving, it was a little bit harder for me to spend so much time on my hair because my hair takes a lot of work. It's like 4C natural curls, and it's a lot. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't do it, but I mean, it takes a lot of work, and I think I've done a pretty good job at really growing out my hair considering how it was back in the day. I used to get perms. I used to burn my hair, like just flat iron it, extensions, real bad. Anyways, so that's really in. I'm really in my natural hair era. But don't get it twisted. I will still be rocking a slick back ponytail because that's just a look. Okay, if you're watching on YouTube, the lighting is probably different because I just opened the blinds because it's a cloudy / sunny day. And the lighting, again, not to hate on the sun, okay? But when the sun is constantly coming and going, because I'm south-facing, usually the time of day that I am filming, the sun is like beaming where I'm filming, and it kind of messes up the way that I fix the lighting when I do editing. So it might look a little different. Anyways, you know me, always over explaining things. Okay, so let's get into the limiting beliefs. Let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can change our mind about some things or, you know, work through some things that might be getting in our way. But I kind of want to do a quick overview of how I think about limiting beliefs and just beliefs in general or self-doubt and, you know, all the ways we have shadows and things. We pick up our beliefs from so many places. A lot to do with our parental conditioning, society in general, literally your friends and what they like and what they don't like. The mere fact that you are a woman or you're a man, you're going to have certain beliefs based off of your gender. But a lot of limiting beliefs and self-doubt that I find I've had in my life has been from a place of really throwing things into my shadow. So when I'm taught that, you know, a certain body type is more preferable to men, and I don't have that body type, I'm going to look at myself and be like, okay, you are not as worthy as that girl because she has a nicer body than you. And because she has a nicer body than you, then, you know, she's going to be liked by these set of guys, or she's going to get these opportunities, or she gets to wear these outfits to these events, and then she's going to be popular, and then people are going to like her more, and, you know, she gets all of this and I don't because I don't have that body. And so I'm going to move through life feeling like I can't do certain things in my life because I have this body, or I look this way, or I come from this background, or I have this personality trait. But the problem with that is, first of all, that's not the full picture of society in general. Yes, is it true that there's beauty standards and there's, you know, you've had certain life circumstances where, yeah, people were uplifted when you weren't. Yes, but it doesn't mean that that needs to be your truth now. I don't surround myself with people who uplift one certain body type than mine. I also no longer place my value in whether I have this body type or not. And because I don't do that, I don't have this feeling of I can't wear a certain outfit, or I can't get a certain opportunity because I look like this. I have changed my beliefs about what I hold to be true, about what I can get in my life and what I can get access to, and, you know, who will love me and, you know, who will accept me. And even another example that I think of, I grew up in a high school, even elementary, where I was literally like one of the only light-skinned children in that school. And when I mean light-skinned, I mean mixed, half black, half white. There wasn't even any black kids in my school, really, until maybe, I think it was a high school, like maybe there was like a handful of them. And the other three light-skins that went to another school, they were my half-siblings. And the other two light-skins that were across town were my cousins. So I grew up not looking the exact same, not to say that I feel like there was like racism going on or anything like that. Honestly, no. It was just a mere fact that I had different hair and I just looked differently than a lot of majority of my friends. And so when I saw boys, you know, have crushes on all the other girls that didn't look like me, I looked at it as, okay, well, I'm not lovable. Like, you know, nobody likes me. Nobody likes my hair, and really just the way that I look. And we can go as far as, you know, questioning whether that was necessarily true, right? Like, maybe there were guys that actually had no problem with me and wanted me. But let's say it wasn't, because that actually really wasn't really my experience. For the most part, I did feel like most of the boys wanted like the white girlies with like the blonde straight hair, or just, you know, girls that didn't look like me. And that's fine. I don't look at that like racist. I actually don't. Anyways, we're not getting into that. We are not getting into that conversation regardless. But being in that situation made me think that, okay, no guy is going to like me or my hair, or like the girls are going to like my hair, any of that, right? But the truth is, that is not the full story in which everyone lives. Like, not every single guy wants somebody that doesn't look like me. It was just, I was put in an environment where a lot of the guys were kind of more moving towards that preference. And honestly, as soon as I went closer to the city, closer to Toronto, closer to people who actually resembled me, I was blown away at how normal it was for most men to choose me and, you know, be interested in me. And to go even as far as saying a lot of the guys that, you know, at one point didn't like me started liking me now. And that showed me a few things. That showed me, one, sometimes it's literally just the environment that you're in. or, you know, that a certain situation where a boy did not pick you and picked her. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you are inherently wrong or bad, or that you can't get picked by a man just because that man doesn't like your look or your X, Y, and Z. Also, that people do change. But really and truly, that I was just put in an environment where, you know, maybe I wasn't the preference. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I need to now look at myself like I am lower than these people. It's not to deny that I wasn't getting picked, maybe because I didn't fit into a beauty standard, which who fully knows, right? Who fully knows? It might literally just be I wasn't attractive to a man, even if I was, you know, the same skin tone or, you know, had the exact same hair. He might have still picked somebody else. But I say that because a lot of us, when we have these certain beliefs that, you know, I don't have this certain body type or I don't look this certain way, we think it's the entirety of the picture. It has to be true for us forever, but it doesn't need to be. That doesn't need to be my reality and my story that I'm going to base my self-worth and my relationships and whether I'm going to get opportunities or not based off of the things that were shown to me in my environment. Is it to deny that that was maybe even a thing? Maybe the fact that there was, you know, racial disparity, or if there was, you know, socioeconomic differences, yes. Sometimes it's not even the full case. But even if that was the case, I'm still not going to look at that and, you know, base the rest of my future off of what was shown to me and what cards were dealt to me when I was younger. Because it's just my belief that if you continue to believe that, you know, that those type of guys only like, you know, this type of girl or this body or, you know, this, you know, job or, you know, can only get this job if you have XYZ credentials, it's just really going to limit you. And you can do kind of both things or one or the other. Kind of what I've done is, one, realize, okay, well, this is not every single person. Like, every single white boy does not like a light-skinned girl. Like, that is not actually the case, for one. It's just not. It's just in that certain circumstance that I was in at that moment in time. And there's so many other factors that even play a role in that. But even if it was just that, it's not going to be every single person. And what's even more important is to be able to expand your mind and see that there are other people as well that do accept you or, you know, will give you an opportunity or don't care about a certain body type or whatever. So anyways, that's how I kind of look at limiting beliefs. Like, we pick these certain things up based off of our environments. This is not to deny what has happened. This is not to say that that might have been a thing back in the day to cause us some insecurity or some self-doubt, or, you know, maybe we made the wrong mistake, or, you know, maybe somebody did tell us that we're not enough, or maybe we weren't qualified to do something. But that doesn't mean that needs to be your reality now, and you can actively take certain steps towards changing that. So a few little questions that I ask myself, and you can ask yourself as well before getting into these, just to like have in your head, is, where did I first pick up this belief that I'm not enough, that I can't do this, get this opportunity, you know, this person wouldn't like me, all these. You picked it up somewhere. Where did you pick it up? And ask yourself, am I basing my future, the things that I want or the things that I'm like really working towards getting, am I basing my future based off of the past, based off of something that happened in the past? Because once again, it's not to deny that something happened in the past and that might have been a truth back then, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a truth for you now. And my question is, my insight is, why would you want to limit yourself and think, well, no, that is the reality, and, you know, these guys only like this sort of, you know, body type or this whatever? Why would you want to continue to live your life feeling so disempowered? And, you know, there's obviously certain universal truths about things. But then my next question is, you know, why would you want to be with somebody who is uplifting a certain body type or only likes a certain type of girl or whatever? I don't know. I just think that you should go and surround yourself with people who love you and accept you and embrace you. And, you know, I get this whole, you know, fighting for equality and fighting for representation and fighting for, you know, rights and all of these things. And it's amazing and we should do that. But it comes to a point where this is how I think about it. I would rather spend my time in this one life that I have around people who accept me and love me and around people who I don't have to force and manipulate and convince to like me than to spend my waking days being really mad at the world and mad that, you know, there are people who are not accepting me. But that's also not to say, like I said, that there's not a need for certain movements that we have. And there, you know, there's been so much good that comes out of it. But I just think that it comes to a point where, you know, we do need to take our power back and empower ourselves. And empowering yourself, in my opinion, is taking your power back and saying, you know, I'm going to direct my energy where I want it to go, around the people that I want to be around and the people who are uplifting me and who are telling me it's possible and who love me for me and who whatever, instead of wasting my time and my energy on somebody who is stuck on something that is not healthy and not good, like, you know, up only just deciding to uplift one body type because they just think that that is the only way and you should be like that, da da da. You know, whether they're right or wrong, if you think that that's wrong, then it's like, I don't, in my opinion, I don't care to try and change your mind about things. And so that next question that I would ask yourself, and how I, you know, this is how I do it too, is how can I show myself that this doesn't need to be my story anymore? Who can I surround myself with? How can I show myself that there's a new way? How can I show myself that, you know, this might have been a reality in my past, but it no longer needs to be anymore?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, let's get into the questions. And if you're on YouTube and I'm moving or the lighting is weird, it's because it really is weird. The sun is really playing today. Okay, first question. I'm struggling with believing that I'm worthy enough to have a healthy relationship. So I would first think about, what about you do you believe that is not worthy of having a relationship? Is it your personality? Is it your body, your looks, your success? What is it? Because you, in order for you to really change anything and start to believe that you're worthy, you need to get down to the actual why. Why? And you might have to trace it back, continue to trace it back. And then when you get to, you know, is it the personality, the body, the success? Ask yourself, where did you first pick this up? You know, did social media tell you that you're only worthy if you look like this? Or, you know, did you date a person one time and they told you that you're not worthy of having a healthy relationship because you acted like this? Where did you first pick that up? And now there's going to be two parts to, you know, reprogramming and thinking about things a new way. Maybe there is things that you need to take accountability for. So maybe you were not that healthy in a relationship and then somebody said you're not worthy of having a healthy relationship. That's not to think that, like, you're actually not, you're worthy in general of having a healthy relationship. But, you know, maybe that person, what they actually really meant and they tried to hurt you, is saying, you know, I don't see how you're going to have a healthy relationship when you're acting like this. Again, I don't know your situation, but it's to look at, you know, were there any truths in what was, you know, said or you know, where you picked up this belief, majority of them are not really truths, unless we're talking about kind of being in a relationship. Majority of them are not really truths, and they're just, it's not that what happened wasn't a thing. Like if somebody told you that, you know, you're not worthy of a healthy relationship or a relationship because you don't look like this, that might have been your reality. Like the example I was telling you in the beginning of the episode, but it doesn't need to be your reality anymore. And that's so, it's so like small, and I don't know what the word I'm thinking about right now. Subjective, not the right word, but whatever. It's just one isolated situation and not the full picture. So you might have been with somebody who said like you need to look like this in order to have a relationship, or you know anyone on social media saying anything now, you know, they are always infiltrating your mind. So really getting down to what it is that you actually believe that you're not worthy of, and where you pick that up, and how you can reintegrate that part back into you first. So, you know, how do I love this part of me? How do I accept the fact that maybe I acted in certain ways in relationships? And, you know, what am I doing to actively heal myself? Or let's say body image issues. Well, okay, first of all, I need to ask myself, is it really true that I'm not worthy of having a healthy relationship because I don't fit a beauty standard? Obviously, that's not fully true. Like, and if you actually believe that, then it's like, who is infiltrating your mind to believe that? You need to be looking at who you're surrounding yourself with, who you're watching online, and you need to start to change that, because, you know, you are a product of your environment. If everyone is saying you need to have a BBL in order for a guy to like you, well, then you're kind of screwed if you don't have a BBL. You're gonna start to think that you need to have a BBL. But the thing is like you're living in this one isolated reality. And you can easily take yourself out of that the same way when I grew up and I moved closer to Toronto and I realized, oh, there's so many people who actually like my hair and look like me and just are attracted to me and whatever. So you need to look at the ways in which you are kind of being isolated in a way, and it's very limited. Again, bringing it back to limiting beliefs. There's so many limits on things. There's limits on things because of your environment and where you've, you know, picked these things up. And I think one major component that you're going to have to kind of go through when you're trying to believe that you are worthy of having a healthy relationship is affirming to yourself all the ways in which you are worthy of having a healthy relationship. You know, you are a good person. Maybe even if you've made mistakes, you've actively changed that. You've healed that. You're working towards that. You're taking care of yourself. You know, whatever it is, look at all the pros, the amazing parts of you, and you need to start telling yourself that, because no one's really going to do it for you. People can barely even validate themselves, honestly. So if you're waiting for other people to tell you that you're worthy, then you're going to be waiting a very long time. All right, next question. I believe that I cannot be successful as a full-time content creator. So bringing it back to that last question, is it the belief of you thinking that you can't be a full-time creator, or is it the belief of you can't be a full-time creator doing what you love? Because I think at this point, we have seen everyone be successful as content creators doing anything. Like, we know that, obviously, because we know that, you know that people can be successful being content creators, but it's usually this complex of I can't be it. You know, everyone else can, but I can't. And or I can't do what exactly I love, but that girl can do exactly what I love, but I can't do it. And then my follow-up question would be, why don't you believe that you could talk about what you love? Why don't you back yourself? What about you do you not feel confident with? What is it that you believe that is not valuable about yourself? Because truly, if you really thought that you had something amazing to say and you wanted to say it and you backed yourself 100%, like really, if you thought that your message, let's say you were wanting to be somebody like me, I don't know what you want to actually do, but let's say you were wanting to be somebody like me. If you really believed in what you were saying, you would have, I mean, obviously there's a learning curve to like getting on camera and like trusting that you could be full time and whatever, but if you believed in your message, then you would have the confidence to speak on what you're talking about, and you would believe that it's possible if you had expanders showing you that it's possible as well. So, you know, you have to kind of look at why you don't value what you're saying or what you're believing. Is it because you don't have certain education? Is it because, you know, somebody else told you that? Again, where did you pick up this belief? And there might be some truth about it, right? So, you know, bring it back to the education piece. Well, maybe, you know, you don't back yourself and you're not fully confident because maybe you don't feel 100% with your message and what you're saying because you don't fully understand the concept in which you're wanting to speak on. And in that case, we just go get a little bit more education. We read a few more books, you know, we become a student of life a little bit more. In general, we become a student of life, and we're going to talk about that. But again, I think it comes back to trying to figure out and pinpoint what about me do I feel is not worthy. And then, you know, bringing it back to this, I don't believe I could be full time. Well, you need to start showing yourself that is possible. Who do you look up to that is full time doing exactly what you want? Who is it? And for me, I've surrounded myself with many people who are making the money that I want to be making, who have done exactly what I'm doing, you know. It's just, you have to kind of show yourself that it's possible. But again, it's not even just that. It's like, okay, what about me do I believe that I can't do? And how do I reaffirm myself and tell myself that's not true? It might have been true in the past. Like maybe I didn't have enough education, or maybe I, you know, somebody told me that I wasn't worthy, but that doesn't mean I'm actually not worthy. It's just somebody else had said that based off of their own limiting beliefs or their low self-worth, and that's not the full picture. So you really need to look back in order for you to be able to affirm yourself a new story. All right, next question. And I moved again because I'm running away from the sun. I believe I can't change for good. I try to change my mentality slash issue and heal from it, or heal from something, and I manage to do it for a few days and then I go right back. So a few things. If you find that you're sabotaging, there's definitely a part of you that believes that doing that thing is actually keeping you safe in some shape or form and is just not on the same page as your conscious adult self. So if you want to start a diet, mainly, I mean, first you're setting yourself up with failure in a way when you do something very restricting. But, you know, if you have a part of you that emotionally eats, because any time that you're feeling alone, sad, stressed out, you know, under a lot of nervous system dysregulation, you have been, it's a pattern for you, and that part of you has learned how to emotionally eat, to suppress emotions, because the emotions that come up when you feel loneliness, when you feel shame, guilt, any sort of emotion that you've never learned how to actually process and deal with and sit with, it's too uncomfortable. It's actually very, very scary. And when you feel that, even from childhood, you know, it feels like death sometimes. And so we pick up all of these certain behaviors, and then we get older or we get wiser, or we learn new information in our conscious mind, our logic mind, and we say, okay, no, I'm not going to do this and I'm going to do it differently now. But then your other part of you is still like trained to suppress emotions by, you know, eating food, let's say. And so when we try and change, we just see, we don't look at ourselves like there's a part of us that's trying to protect us in the first place, but we just see that part of us in a different way, let's say. We see that part of us and we say, stop doing that thing. And it might work for a little bit, but then that part of us kind of goes back. And again, I don't know the situation. I'm not saying you're suppressing emotions with food, but it might be whatever it is that you're, you know, dealing with. You really need to address like what is the underlying issue that part of you keeps going back to that thing. What is it that you are running away from, suppressing, scared of, whatever? It is so important when you are quote unquote self-sabotaging. A good book for this is No Bad Parts by Richard Schwartz. That will really help you understand. And in my book that I'm writing right now, I am going to be talking heavily about this whole like predicament when it comes to self-sabotage in a way. So that's one thing, like you really need to get down to the why. And then also, you know, on a logical level, like thinking about, you know, the things that you are telling yourself that you need to do. First of all, you can't do everything 100%. I used to get in these cycles there's two reasons why I went into these cycles. One was, you know, I actually had a part of me that was doing that behavior and I wasn't getting to that root. So it made it really impossible for me to even do the most easy thing, like intuitively eat or, you know, do something that's just balanced and normal. But then there was also a part of me that had misinformation and I was being taught or picking up certain ways that I had to be productive or be on or hit my goals from this very overly perfectionist mindset, this masculine sometimes mindset. And so you need to kind of, you know, do some belief addressing and, you know, think about what are you trying to tell yourself that you need to do when it comes to healing. And what a lot of people do is they tell themselves, well, okay, I did this behavior and I'm going to stop doing this behavior now. And then I'm going to do it for a few days and then it doesn't work. Okay, well, first, you're probably going to figure out why it doesn't work because that part of you. But secondly, just because now we realize that part of us is doing something and we're actively trying to heal that doesn't mean that that part's going to take over, or that doesn't mean that you're going to do things 100%. Also, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're just not a human being and you move through cycles, especially if you're a woman and you go through an actual menstrual cycle. You go through so many phases. You know, you don't wake up every single day feeling the exact same, and that's okay. Even men as well, right? We have so many factors, so many stressors, so many things that dictate whether we are going to have the energy to do something or not. That doesn't mean that we're going to let that take over everything and not do and hit our goals, but you can't be 100% at doing everything. So let's just throw that mindset out and tell ourselves that, you know, especially when you're on a healing journey, that you need to be 100% perfect. And if you, you know, screw up one day, it's like you actually screwed up and it's wrong and it's bad and you've gone back and you reverted. That's not how healing works. It really doesn't work like that. And in general, even if you think about training, you know, a little toddler to ride a bicycle, just because maybe they fall one time doesn't mean that that's like they have no growth and they haven't learned how to actually ride a bike. They're just getting better and better. And there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be hiccups or whatever. But for you, what actually makes the situation worse and what actually reverts you back is you telling yourself that you made that mistake, and that mistake is an actual, like, you've actually reverted back. Mistakes are made when you get caught up, when you, you know, go back into your old way. Instead of getting so down on yourself and mad at yourself, look at why you did that thing and try your best to support yourself, especially that part of you that even did that thing in the first place, and continue to move on in a loving way. Instead of looking at yourself and being like, I knew it, I'm crap, I'm a failure. Not even looking at why you even did that, other than a very surface level thing of being like, you know, I just, you know, whatever, something stupid. And then continue to try and do it again and again. One last thing I'll say, when you are trying to make a change, you're trying to heal or whatever, it's really good and important that you really acknowledge your achievements, the small wins, the small steps. We live in a society today where we don't really acknowledge those small little wins because we see everyone else doing such big things, or we tell ourselves we need to do something at 100% or nothing at all. And the truth is, we need to acknowledge our small little steps that we make, especially when we're in a healing journey, when we're doing something for the first time, when we're learning something, when we're reprogramming our minds, our neurons, and our freaking brains. We need to acknowledge, you know, today I did 1% better than yesterday. Or yesterday, when I fell back down into depression, I was able to pick myself back up. You need to start to acknowledge your wins. You need to be grateful. You need to send yourself love and compassion when you are trying to change. Okay, somebody said, I believe I'm not qualified or smart enough for my job/career. Okay, I'm going to take this a few ways here. And I was thinking about this. So when we're talking about imposter syndrome, we're really talking about this idea of being scared to be wrong, right? We don't want to be wrong. And I think about, you know, my own imposter syndrome and in general, making mistakes in my life. If I trace that back, if I were to make a mistake when I was around my father, or if I was, you know, said the wrong thing or, you know, upset him, that was really scary for me. That was very terrifying to be wrong. So I tried my best in my youngest years, all the way even up to an adult, to be a good girl, to not make mistakes, to be quiet, to be small, to be right. I want to be right because it protects me. Because if I think about being wrong, if I can truly sit down in those feelings and think about when somebody says that I'm wrong or I've made a mistake and they've acknowledged that I've made a mistake, it actually feels the same way as I felt in childhood when my dad told me that I made a mistake and I was afraid of him. I was terrified of him. So if I made a mistake, I felt as a child, this is like death, versus being raised by a father who, let's say I did make a mistake or, you know, I said the wrong thing or whatever. He told me in a way that's maybe assertive and, you know, he's asserting his power in a healthy way over his child. But he's saying it from a place of, you know, I still love you. I accept you. Like, we're gonna fix this. We're gonna fix this issue that you've made or you that wrong decision, whatever. It's totally okay. I'm gonna love you anyways. I didn't get that from my father. What I got from my father was, you make a mistake, you pay for it. And there's really just nothing but consequences if you make that mistake. So I'm picking up this protection mechanism of, no matter what I do, I'm going to do my absolute best to not make a mistake. And unfortunately, what comes out of that is being somebody who always wants to be right. If you really look deep enough behind why people are the way that they are, you will find that they're trying to protect themselves from feelings that they never learned how to deal with in childhood, or they're too afraid, they're running away from. Now, I'm not saying this is why you feel like you're not qualified when it comes to your job or whatever, but I'm bringing it back to imposter syndrome because the truth is, we're not perfect human beings. We don't need to be. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to be always 100,000% knowing the answer and being super qualified, especially when we're starting off in a job or a career doing something for the first time. Why do we expect ourselves to do that? Well, you know, there's many reasons. There's people who have told us that we need to be perfect 100%, or you're going to lose this opportunity, or you're going to, you know, you can't say the wrong thing, whatever. But again, it's this protection mechanism of feeling the feelings that might come up if we were to realize that maybe we were wrong and we did make a mistake. Why can't we make mistakes? This is how I look at it when it comes to feeling like, you know, you need to be qualified or you need to like say the right thing. You're allowed to make a mistake. Okay, this is not to say that you're gonna have to, you know, take responsibility if you make that mistake. Of course, you're gonna have to take the right responsibility. You need to learn and educate yourself. You need to, you know, you need to correct, self-correct. But that doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It doesn't mean that it's death if you make a mistake. So I would encourage you to learn how to have a new relationship towards yourself when it comes to making any sort of mistake in your life or not knowing answers. Because I even think about this time when I was trying to do a math question and I couldn't understand it. And I was trying to do it and my mom told my dad to come and help me. And he's doesn't know how to be patient with children at all. And he was like yelling at me because I didn't know the answer. And I was so stressed and I was crying and I was like screaming out for my mom to just like save me in this moment because I was so stressed. And from that moment, I really picked up the way that my dad treated me when it came to not knowing an answer. I started doing that to myself. I started to yell at myself. I started to get mad at myself when I didn't know an answer quickly. And that was literally because he had treated me like that, because he was impatient, because of his own life story and his own whatever. And again, it's like, we pick up the way that we treat ourselves a lot of the times is the way that our parents had treated us, but it doesn't need to be the full story. And sometimes it's not right. So another thing I want to reiterate when it comes to imposter syndrome, though, is there are sometimes some cases where you might be feeling it because maybe you aren't confident within yourself and knowing, you know, a topic that you're wanting to talk about or something that you want to do. And again, it's really thinking about the relationship that you have towards making mistakes and being perfect, but also maybe you do need some more support. You know, confidence does come from allowing yourself to make mistakes and be okay with not being perfect, but it also does come from you putting in that work and being educated or knowing something on a subject. So whatever it is that you're doing, do you need to take another course? Do you need to be educated a little bit more? But also looking at the ways in which that you have accomplished certain things as well. You know, let's say you want to be somebody who's on YouTube and gives advice. Okay, well, are you that advice friend in real life? Yes, you are. So there's no difference. But, You know, maybe you would feel like you're an imposter if you actually weren't that advice friend. And maybe you want to be that advice friend, and that's fine. But okay, maybe I need to start to have more conversations in real life in order to feel like I have that experience with doing so. So it's definitely going to depend on your situation. But I think with imposter syndrome, a lot of the times it's because we really try and be perfect, and you just need to swipe that from your reality seriously. And remind yourself all the ways in which that you have accomplished things, and you are knowledgeable, and you are wise, and you have done things. Remind yourself of that in the times where you need to feel like a little bit more confidence within yourself. Okay, somebody says that they want to dead, aka kill, the inner voice that is telling her that she won't be successful. So first, I want to just say the inner voice that is inside of everyone, it's very, very useful, and it's not something to demonize. Although I know it's annoying and you just want to silence it, and there's going to be times where you need to, but you don't ever want to you don't want to have the energy towards that part of you in the first place, because that's not going to help your situation. Because truthfully, your inner voice is that part of you that resides in your subconscious mind realm. And what happens in your subconscious mind, which is literally 95% of how we take action, is going to affect what happens and what you do in your life. So for you to not have a relationship with this part, and for you not to, you know, get curious with it and start to heal it, start to learn where it first came from, send compassion and love, and, you know, give it what it really needs, what is dying for you to see that you're probably not seeing, or you're ignoring, is kind of, it's like doing a disservice to yourself. And it's just not, you're going to go back right into self-sabotage. Like I've been saying in this episode. When it comes to, you know, you have this inner voice of telling yourself that you won't be successful, there might be a reason why, right? So kind of rooting it back to where you first believed that you can't be successful. I know that I've had a part of me that wants to protect me by telling myself that I'm not going to be successful, so that I don't get excited for things and then get disappointed. And that's because I have been disappointed a lot in my past. So I'm trying to protect myself from not getting too excited about something, or not telling myself, you know, having confidence within myself and being optimistic about something, because I'm afraid that if it doesn't happen, then I'm going to be let down the way that I have been let down in my past. So I'm trying to, you know, keep myself protected and safe. But also, like, stripping yourself from that joy of life is obviously not helpful. And then you want to think about how to have a new relationship with consistency and, you know, getting things in your life as well. It's not the end of the world if something doesn't work out the way that it might have felt back in the day when somebody did let you down. But it also might play into this inferiority complex that a lot of us have, where we have been raised, let's say, in a society or an era environment where maybe you did actually see everyone get everything that you wanted that you weren't able to get. You weren't able to get because your parents didn't have the resources. You just didn't have the circumstances that allowed you to have what you saw everyone else around you have. So naturally, you're going to think, well, you know, I can't be successful, or I can't have this opportunity or that, because, you know, they have all of these limiting beliefs. It's important for you to start to get curious as to what environment, what situations led you to believe that you couldn't be successful, and telling yourself a new story. And part of that new story, again, it might be you actually taking the proper actions that will build the confidence within you to believe that you're going to be successful. Because the truth is, for you to tell yourself that you're going to be a successful content creator, 100,000 subscribers, making 5 figures a month, and you're going to be so successful doing whatever you want. If you haven't done the work to actually make that possible, it's going to be really hard for you to believe that you're successful. You're not stupid for doubting yourself in a way. Like, you're actually not. That's quite rational to think, well, you know, I don't really believe that I'm successful. Well, yeah, because maybe your actions haven't, you know, shown that you're going in the direction of being successful. You know, you're not waking up, you're not taking care of yourself, you're not educating yourself, you're not doing the work that would take to, you know, become successful. There's going to be actual action taking things that you need to take in order for you to believe that you will be successful. And I think one thing that we need to always remind ourselves is there are definitely things that we have done, actions that we've taken that will lead to our success and have been. But again, we live in a society where we think we have to be 100% perfect with everything or nothing. And then that strips the acknowledgement of the accomplishments that we actually have accomplished, the things that we have done that slowly over time get us to where we can feel like we're successful or we are successful. And we need to really backtrack and look at all the little steps and all the little things that we do in our day-to-day basis that lead us to that dream person that we really want to be. Okay, somebody said, I have a limiting belief about a certain zodiac sign not liking me and us not working out. Okay, so I'm just going to be like tough love a little bit, but not really, but whatever. I love you. If you continue to have this belief, just know that that's going to be your reality. Like you really got to look at this. If you believe that you are not going to be compatible with somebody based off of their zodiac sign, that will be your experience. So are you ready to drop the idea of believing they have to have a certain zodiac sign in order to be compatible with me? Like you have to be willing to drop that belief first and foremost. And you need to see how that is, you're creating your own reality. You're creating your own experience, your dating experience by you having this belief. Like the same way of saying, limiting yourself and saying, the only men that I will ever date are men over 6 foot. Do you know the percentage of men who are actually over 6 foot? It's very, very small. And listen, if you want to ride and die by only dating men who are over 6 feet, you can go for it. The same way if you're ready to ride and die for only dating people who are compatible with your sign, then go for it. But if you want to change that belief, then you need to really look at how subjective and how isolated this belief really is. Because is it true that a guy who is over 6 feet is going to be an amazing man, a man you'd want to marry, a man who is truly aligned with all your values and goals? No, just because he's 6 foot doesn't mean that. The same way, just because a pretty girl doesn't mean that she's going to be an amazing wife. And, you know, just because somebody has a zodiac sign doesn't actually mean that they would be compatible with you. And you want to know why? Because there's so many other things that fall under somebody's birth chart that would make them compatible with you or not. So it's like you really need to look at where you picked up these beliefs and who is educating you in a way. You know, what type of education do you have or thought process do you have about this thing? Because the truth is, if you were to actually really, I don't even know that much about astrology. I kind of was into it in the past, but there's so many other signs that fall into a birth chart that would make somebody more compatible or less compatible with you. And if we're even talking about like a deep intimate connection, you do actually even want to look at their moon sign. So it's like for you to only base off of the fact that they're a Scorpio, their sun sign is a Scorpio, that's not even the full picture. There's like a million other things that fall into place. And on top of that, outside of astrology, there are so many other factors in real life, not real life because astrology is a real thing, but in life that would affect somebody who, let's say, is a, let's say they had the same like three or same two signs, sun and moon. They're like Scorpio and an Aries, okay? And two guys. But if they come from two different backgrounds, if they come from two different socioeconomic statuses, they're going to show up differently in a relationship. So I just think that it's very limited thinking for you to believe that, you know, if he's a Gemini, then he's not going to be compatible with me. Why don't you just let yourself get to know this person outside of the sign and then you can decide? That's my personal opinion. And I would hate to limit myself to only dating somebody because they have a certain sign. Like, yes, is astrology a card that you can kind of look and a tool that you can look to help guide you in certain areas in your life? Sure. But I don't think that should be the reason why you don't explore men and go on dates and, you know, try and find out what you like and what you don't. Somebody said they struggle with believing that a man will love them and like unconditionally love and care for them. And I mean, usually this has to do with maybe a relationship that we've had in the past, whether that be just like our first ever relationship that where somebody maybe didn't love us unconditionally, or a father experience. For me, definitely was a father experience. Although I would say that my father probably did love me unconditionally, but the relationship that I had with him, I just didn't have a good foundation of learning what it meant to have a healthy relationship with a man in general. So no wonder, you know, and again, I don't know your situation, but there's probably something that that's happened that makes you believe, you know, I don't know if somebody would ever unconditionally love for me or care for me. You know, I've never had that before. And I think one thing to really help you change your mind about this is looking back and realizing that that might have happened. You might have had a father that didn't unconditionally love you and care for you, or some relationship, but that doesn't need to be your reality anymore. The reason why somebody didn't love you unconditionally and take care of you unconditionally, especially like a father, it wasn't anything to do with you. It was them. They didn't know how to show up for you. You as a young little child, you don't deserve for somebody to not unconditionally love you. It's not your fault that they didn't love you. And so when you're wanting to be unconditionally loved now as an adult, you need to look back and see, it never was me. It wasn't my fault. I am actually very much so worthy of love. I think another thing to piggyback off of that is to start to learn how to unconditionally love yourself as well, because I think that even as women in general, I feel we struggle heavily with loving ourselves. And I think that it just helps us in terms of our own energy going out in the world, especially when we are dating men or being in relationships, to have this energy of truly loving ourselves and being unconditionally loving, so that we can attract people who will have that same standard, because we have that for ourselves. And, you know, bringing it back to that perfectionist thing, allowing yourself not to be perfect and allowing yourself to make mistakes and not getting mad at yourself when you find yourself doing a behavior, and instead, you know, instead of turning on yourself, looking into and inwards and being like, what do I need? What does my inner child need? All that is a form of unconditionally loving yourself. And when you start to do that, you have that energy that is kind of magnetizing in a way to the right people. And people will show up in your life and be like, that is a woman who I know that I need to love, or I need to go away. All right, next thing. I always see myself as someone that is small and has to be quiet. So like, the thing is, you didn't come here on earth to just be quiet and sit in the corner and be shy and not go for what you want and not expand and not grow and evolve with other people and for yourself. You just didn't. So, you know, coming back to this root of why I believe that I need to be small thing, most likely you were taught from a young age, maybe from a parent or siblings or people around you. Maybe there was like big energy, big personalities that kind of just naturally you kind of like got put to the side. Or maybe, you know, you were really like, for me, I was around a father who it was safer for me to just be quiet and in the corner. And that translated into my school life a lot. I needed a lot more help understanding concepts and doing schoolwork. I was literally terrible in school, literally all the way up until grade 11, when I decided that I actually am smart. I just need time to really sit down and understand a concept and not be rushed. So again, it goes back to this idea of you don't have to live your life the way that it was taught to you back then. You know, people are telling you you need to be quiet. People are telling you that you're not smart enough, that you don't know enough, whatever. And now there's going to be things, of course, that are going to make you feel more confident within yourself as an adult by, you know, showing yourself as possible by, you know, putting in the work and taking the right actions to believe, yeah, I am smart enough, or I do deserve to speak on camera and like I have something to say, and et cetera. Of course, that will help you believe that you can, you know, have a platform, let's say. But on top of that is to really look back and be like, you know, the people who were around me were telling me to be quiet, or I thought that I needed to be quiet so I didn't rock the boat, whatever it was. It's not even to have to put blame on people. It's just to see what it was, okay? And to realize that it doesn't need to be your reality anymore. And bringing it back to my story, You know, because I didn't get the right help after school and even in school, and I was being pulled out of class and going into a room where they're telling me, okay, we'll give you more time to write a test. But then they would put me back into my classroom where the teacher is on lesson 3 and I just finished taking a test for lesson 1. And naturally, I'm going to be very confused as to what we're talking about. And now when I try and take a test for lesson 3 because they're giving me pop quizzes, I'm being told when I get my grades back that it's an F, that you're not smart. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. And that obviously makes me think, okay, well, maybe I should just be quiet. Maybe I shouldn't raise my hand because I don't think I know what I'm talking about because I just did a test and like that grade was really bad and I didn't understand anything. But it's like, I didn't even know in that situation that I was a product of my environment. I wasn't getting the proper after school care when it comes to schooling. You know, I didn't have my parents. My mom was working all the time and my father, I was afraid of him. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just kind of try and figure this out on my own. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm too scared. I'm, you know, all of these things. It made me believe that, yeah, maybe I don't have anything to say, or maybe I should be quiet because I don't have the answer. But it's like, the reason why I don't have the answer is because I didn't have help to understand how to get the answer in the first place. So it doesn't need to be my reality. I just maybe need to now, first of all, reparent myself in a way. Maybe I do need to actually get that help, extra help, try and find the answer, educate myself, take my time doing things the way that I should have done, or not even should have done, but you know, other people should have helped me with when I was younger. And then now this is going to be a new story for me. Now I can speak. Now I can talk. Why? Because I back myself and I know that what I'm saying is understandable. I know that I'm wise. I know that I've educated myself. I don't need to be perfect. Bringing it back to, you know, having that healthy relationship towards myself, not the way that my father had on me. But those tips and those healing practices and that journey will really help you believe that, you know, I don't need to be small. I don't need to feel inferior. I don't need to be small in this world. And again, coming back to that one thing I said, you just didn't come here to sit in a corner and be quiet and be timid. Like that's, you didn't do, imagine if we all came here and did that. There'd be no evolution. There'd be no reproducing. There'd be no expansion. And what's the point in that? In my opinion, that's not what God wants. That's not what the universe, that's just not. It's not what we're meant to do here. Someone said, I think it would be hard to manifest what I want in life due to my inferiority complex. Now, I know I kind of just talked about that, so I'm not going to go too much in depth, but I actually do think you're kind of true in a way. Like, you're not wrong or crazy to believe that it might be hard for you to manifest things when you believe that you are inferior. And when you know, everyone else can have it but you. If you think that, then it's going to be hard to bring things into your life because based off of what you believe about yourself, you take action from those beliefs. So, and in order to manifest something, how do you manifest something? Well, you're aligned. You take certain actions, you put yourself in certain places, and that's how you manifest things. That's how you get things in your life. So if you don't believe that you can even be somebody who is worthy of being in a certain room where you're going to get that manifestation, aka an opportunity where it's so aligned, so quick, you meet one person, they have this opportunity of a lifetime and you were in the right place at the right time and you know, you were aligned, it's going to be hard for you to manifest. I'm not saying it's impossible, obviously. So I think coming back to all the things I've been talking about in this episode about getting to the root of why you feel inferior and really taking some of the steps to heal that part of you and to do some action taking in your day-to-day life for you to believe that, you know what? I deserve to be in this room. I have done this. I have done that. My past is not going to define me. I deserve to be in this room. Okay, these are going to be really quick responses. I'm going to try my best because, you know, it's getting a little long here like always. Feeling like I should be where everyone else is / doing what everyone else is doing. You have no idea what is happening with people's finances and careers and relationships behind closed doors. So for you to be like, I need to be exactly where everyone else is Where is everyone else? You actually don't know. Trust me, I'm saying this from experience. I used to be like this. And my mom would tell me this all the time. Alicia, you have no idea. Because I would be like, oh, well, I'm not where I want to be financially. And, you know, I have this one debt and I like still need to pay it off. And all my not even other friends, like I would say in such a generalization, I would say everyone who's 21 has, everyone around me has no debts and, you know, they're doing so much better and they have this and that, da, da, da. My mom would be like, you have no idea if they have debts. You have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. You can't base somebody's, you know, financial situation, let's say in this example, based off of you seeing the car that they drive. You don't know if they finance that car and they can barely make the payment. You don't know if that car is bought out. You don't know if they're just racking up debt on a credit card to get that Chanel bag. You have no idea. So let's stop comparing ourselves to other people's, you know, surface level social profiles, because you don't know the depths of what's going on within that social profile, and start focusing on your own life. Start focusing on the things that you're not really happy with. Let's say it is your finances or your, you know, your career or your relationships. Work on what you need to work on and continue to move forward. The only person you should be comparing yourself to is the old version of you. That is it. There's no point, because if you continue to compare yourself to other people, you're going to be doing that to the end of time, because there's always going to be somebody in your mind who is prettier than you, who is thinner than you, who has more money than you, whatever it is. And even if they actually don't, if you see that on paper, you're going to believe that. You might as well focus on your own life, heal whatever it is that you need to heal, work on whatever you need to work on, and continue to move forward. And trust me, you will have such a more peaceful, happier life. Someone said, I believe that I have nothing good to talk about / why would somebody listen to me? So again, bringing it back to picking up that belief. Where did you first pick that up? That you have nothing good to talk about. Is that true? Is that true? Ask yourself, is that true? Because you know what? Sometimes there are some truths into the things that you believe, right? Let's bring it back to content creation. I have nothing good to say. Well, first of all, if it's not that you are actually second guessing yourself, okay, you might not actually have anything to say, because maybe you don't have education, maybe you don't have life experience, maybe you don't have the things, you know, you've been through the things and have the knowledge that somebody else that you aspire to be has. And that's okay. That is totally okay. That just means more education, more life experience, becoming a lifelong learner. So it's really to look at, you know, where do I fall? Is it truly I'm just not backing myself and I need to remind myself of all the ways in which I do have education and I do have life experience and I need to just like own it and to not feel so inferior and I don't stop having this inferior complex? Or is it truly like, you know, maybe I am not showing up the way that I want and, you know, I don't feel confident within myself and what I have to say because, you know, I'm sitting at home. I'm not really doing much. I'm consuming a lot. I'm not really speaking. I'm not getting out there and I'm not doing the work. Like sometimes it is about doing the work. And coming back to like, if you have nothing good to talk about, then learn something good to talk about. You know, what are your interests? And again, coming back to like, well, people won't find interest in what I have to say. Da, da, da. That's not the full truth though, because you might just be around people who are not interested in talking about what you want to talk about. You think that a lot of my friends are interested in self-help and hearing me talk for an hour plus on my podcast episodes? No, they're not. They're amazing. They love me. You know, they take the bite-sized pieces of advice when I give it to them, but you know, they're not the people who are my core audience. And you need to realize that not everyone in your life is going to be super obsessed with what you're saying, but that doesn't mean that what you have to say is not valuable. You just need to go find an audience who is willing to listen. You need to go find friends who are interested in the same thing as you. It's like we expect ourselves to just be born in this perfect environment where everyone loves everything that we have to say and everyone should just support us and love us and cheer us on. And yes, would that be amazing to have? Yes. But the truth is that's not usually our reality, and that's okay. But it's also not to play that victim and say that you can't create your own reality by putting yourself in places where people would be interested in what you have to say. Okay, next thing. I keep saying next thing because it's not really a question. It's like a statement or a belief. Next belief. No matter what I do, I'll never be good enough against someone more privileged / abundant. I think this comes back to what I said about having one life. You have one life. Are you going to spend your time and your energy on looking at what everyone else has and telling yourself that you can't get it. Because the truth is, I grew up around many people who had way more resources, way more everything than I did. And I didn't come from any money. I wasn't privileged in that way. I was privileged in the way of I had my certain situation. Of course, it's always going to be more privileged than somebody who has less than me, always. But at the end of the day, like, you could look at my circumstance and I could look at it and just, you know, play the victim all my life, really, and kind of, you know, have a mediocre life if that's what I wanted. But I realized that focusing on what everyone else has and making myself feel bad about that didn't feel good to me. It didn't feel good focusing on the fact that everyone got everything and their parents had credit and their parents had money and their parents da 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 da. And I just realized that I'm not going to focus on the things that make me feel like crap. Instead, I'm going to focus on working towards what I really want, which is what they already have. Is it to say that it's right that, you know, you might be disadvantaged and that you're not as privileged as the other person? We could have debates about that all day, and that's not the channel. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. You're not a Nepo baby. But it doesn't mean that in order for you to have Nepo babies, you need to be a Nepo baby yourself. And if people don't understand what that is, it's basically like, you know, coming from money. You can create a whole new reality for yourself. You can create opportunities for yourself. You can get out of so many hard times. I have done it myself. I have done it with my health. I have done it with my financial situation. I've done it with my career. I've done it with my life in general. Same with many other people. A lot of successful people, a lot of them didn't come from money. So if that's what you believe, again, if that's what you believe, you have to come from money and you have to be privileged. And if not, then you're not gonna have any of these opportunities, then that's gonna be your reality. And my question is, are you willing to let that continue to be your reality? How does that feel? It doesn't feel very empowering, does it? For you to wake up every day and say, everyone has everything else and I just don't have anything. I know it sucks to see, you know, people have opportunities and when you really want them, or, you know, how disadvantaged everything is and it's just not nice. And yeah, life is not easy. Life is not nice. People are not nice. But from my own experience, I just think that you're just wasting your time in a way when you are constantly focusing on what everyone else has and what you don't have, instead of learning how you can create your own reality and create those own opportunities for yourself and your own wealth and your own whatever. And at the end of the day, yeah, there might be privileged people, but there's a lot of people who aren't as well, and they're doing amazing things and they've gotten themselves out of so many hard times. So again, it's this level of commitment to the victim mentality, the commitment to feeling like the universe is doing everything to you and not for you. If you want to change this mindset, you really need to start to believe that the universe or God or whatever you want to believe in is working for you, not against you. And that you can create a different life than maybe what was given to you, all these cards that were given to you. Don't waste your one life that you have being so upset to the point where you don't create any opportunities for yourself because you're saying how unfair it is for other people to have opportunities. That's just my two cents on that. All right, next belief, believing that being skinny will solve problems. And then in brackets, she said, for me, it created more. So one thing I said is it doesn't solve many problems for us because we usually want to be skinny for our ego's sake. And anything that satisfies the ego, it's really just a quick dopamine kick and it doesn't really last. That's why she's saying like it created more. That's usually what happens when you are driven to wanting to be skinny for like aesthetic reasons. Obviously, being skinny, first of all, I'm not skinny shaming. You can be whatever size, whatever. But it's not that like being skinny is inherently bad. It's just like why you want to be skinny. If it's because like you want to be smaller because you want to be healthy in a way, then obviously that's great. But if you only want to do that because for your ego, like obviously that's not going to last because it's a quick dopamine kick. It's not really getting to the root as to why you believe you need to be skinny in the first place in order to be worthy of things. And I wrote here, it's not that being skinny is a problem. It's that using being skinny as your value is going to be an issue. And you're much more than that. So just focus on that. Like focus on other things other than your body. I think my book is also going to address this as well. Because that's kind of like what started my whole glow up journey when I was 16. I was just really focused on appearance and it didn't fix my problems because it didn't go deep enough. Next belief, she said that my body can attract men. So it's a really limiting belief, right? For you to believe that your body can't attract men. Because the truth is there's so many different types of men. They all like different body types. You're probably around men who maybe like one body type. So that's like a thing of expanding your mind and, you know, questioning the type of beliefs that these people hold around you. You know, for instance, stop surrounding yourself with men who only like girls with BBLs, especially if you don't have a BBL, you know, like you can't let that be your reality. You can't now believe that you are so less than because these guys who only like girls who have BBLs have BBLs. Like you definitely don't want to be around men who think like that anyways, in my opinion. I mean, it's not to demonize a man for having a preference for sure, right? And you have to understand that when it comes to men and anyone in general, but let's just bring it to men right now. They do have preferences and you can't get mad at that. I'm sorry. Again, it comes back to I would rather just not spend my time trying to convince and manipulate and, you know, yell at a man for telling him he's wrong for liking a certain body type and instead move my attention and my focus on men who obviously like me and my body type and who also care about other things other than just a girl who has a BBL. Like I just would rather spend my time with men who care more about that than a freaking BBL. That's just my opinion. And it comes back to this perfectionist thing. You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. You're just not. You are not going to attract every single man. My body type sure as hell does not attract a certain type of man. And that's okay. Love yourself. Focus on yourself. Do the best that you can. Be the healthiest that you can for yourself. Take care of yourself. And the people who love you will love you. And the people who, you know, don't have a preference, who cares? They're not for you anyways. Like you shouldn't change your appearance so heavily because this one person has a preference. Like I don't, for me personally, I would never. And again, I even considered this when I was younger, you know, doing all these surgeries and things because that would find me more attractive to certain men. But it's like, why would you change yourself, especially when we're talking about BBLs? Why would you change yourself to that extent? Just because somebody has a preference when there is a million guys who don't have that preference. But again, it's your mindset and what you believe. Do you believe that every guy really has a preference for that? Well, if that's what you've seen around in your environment, then you're going to think that. So it's going to be up to you to get yourself out of that environment, to get yourself to expand your mind to new places, new men, new people, new friends, to see that it's actually way different than what you're being taught here. I can tell you right now, I have met so many men who don't prefer BBLs and actually think that they're gross, and literally no shade to anyone who has a BBL or wants one, whatever. I'm just saying there are men who don't find that attractive. And there's also even men, even when it comes to lips, I've met men who literally like they can really, really tell like even the slightest when a girl has their lips done and they don't like it. They don't find that attractive. And they only find like natural lips attractive. And you know what? It is what it is. But it's just to show you like there's so many men, you know, there's so many men. You can't, I don't know. Just again, it's a limiting belief. Okay, last question. Oh my gosh, this lighting is so dark now. I really need to get my life sorted with this lighting, I swear, guys. I'm looking at a condo today, so hopefully it's the one. And if it's the one, I think my lighting might be a little bit better because it is not facing south. It'd be facing east. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Jeez. Back on track. Okay. So the last belief somebody said was like with aging. So they said, aging while in a long-term relationship and my boyfriend seeing me become older. I mean, I think from a very mature standpoint, I think about this and I'm like, wow, like that's, it's a little irrational to even think that. But I mean that in the nicest way, because like, you know, I'm sure at one point I thought about that when I was younger too, right? But honestly, this is, we're going to drop this belief right now. I'm sorry. I love you, but we got to throw this belief out the freaking water. Because first of all, it's inevitable that you're going to age, like done deal. Just, you need to understand that you're going to age. And if you are struggling with the idea of aging, then we need to, again, look, where did we pick this up? Why is this thrown in our shadow? Why do we feel so much, maybe, I don't know, shame or, you know, ick towards aging? You know, maybe it was a mom who was self-critical. Maybe it was just, you know, the environment that you're around, certain cultures, you know, feel a certain type of way around aging, whatever it is, there's going to be influences. You need to kind of look at, you know, who influenced you to care about that. Or maybe it's simply just friends and stuff, you know, like this day and age, people are so very odd behavior. So look at that and start to, you know, surround yourself with people who embrace aging. embrace not being perfect, accept themselves, love themselves, things of that nature, and realize, again, like coming back to this universal truth, you're going to age. Even if you want to do the Botox and you want to reverse aging and you want to take care of yourself, at the end of the day, you're going to age. And when we're talking about, I'm scared for my boyfriend to see me age, first of all, that man's going to age as well. And if you were ever with a man who has a problem with you aging, that man is not for you. And I'm looking at you dead in the camera right now, because I'm telling you, that man is not for you. You will never want to be with a man who is disgusted by women who are aging, who, you know, has an issue with that, like as if he doesn't age as well. One thing I will say, playing a little bit of a devil's advocate in a way, but I'm really not. Of course, I think it's really important for us to take care of our health. And especially when we're talking about attraction in relationships, because I would assume this is kind of rooted more in some sort of attraction. I think that no matter what, your man, first of all, if he's a good, healthy man, he's not going to care that you're aging. You're aging with him. Like, it's going to be a normal process. But as long as you're taking care of yourself and you're, you know, lots of attraction is happening within your relationship and you guys are still keeping on, you're keeping each other on your toes and you're going on dates and you're dating each other and you're flirting and your sexual, like, attention and intimacy and all that kind of stuff. And if you're really taking care of that and you're on that and you're nurturing that as a part of your relationship, you have nothing to worry about. Okay, so let's not worry about aging. Let's not worry about that. Take care of yourself, love yourself, show up as best as you can in relationships, and be with a man who doesn't care about that, like honestly. Okay, my camera is going to die and this has been way too long, but I hope some of my advice have helped you in any sort of way when it comes to limiting beliefs. Just know we always pick beliefs up from certain things that have happened in the past, and you do have the power to change them if you want. But it's going to be up to you. Are you more committed to this limiting belief? Are you more committed to having a new reality in a future? And if you really struggle with thinking that it's possible for you, you need to start looking at other people who have done it as well. And I can be that first expander for you. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, watching. And by the way, we're hitting a lot of downloads a week on every episode, which is insane. And I also saw how many like subscribers I have on Spotify. There's so many. There was like 21K just on Spotify, like the follower count, which is really cool to see. So always letting me know how you like the episodes, and even rating and reviewing the podcast for me, I would really appreciate that. But either way, thank you so much for listening and watching. And if you want to watch me on YouTube, you can, the Globe Seekers Podcast. And that's it. I love you guys so much, and I'll talk to you and see you in the next one. Bye.